Partner Dave Petzo. Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petzo Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Petzo Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Petzo.
Hello, good morning, and welcome, and thanks for joining us. What an incredible week. This was no ordinary week, right? I mean, I'm not just talking volatility here. Not at all. We've had lots of volatility lately, so you could make, wow, bouncing around. But I'm talking about the big move the ECB made and all of the hand-wringing going into it, right? I mean, everybody's, it's not going to work, it's not going to work, it's not going to work. It just is amazing to me. Amazing. How certain people are about outcomes. I mean, really. Schiff, I think his name is. Peter Schiff. Yeah, Mr. Stopped Watch. I think he was right once, 10 years ago. And he's always there. But, and it's always doom and gloom. It's always all over. It's, you know, with careful analysis, it's over. After careful analyzing the QE, it's all over. After careful analyzing whatever, the moonshot, it's over. It's always all over. It's always done and encased in a very eloquent argument as to why we're all finished and wiped out, and I have no idea why people listen to people like that. But I saw him right there on headlines again. You know, it was just one of those things, like on Yahoo Finance, you know, just going through. Schiff says QE or European QE won't work. Okay. I'm glad he's sure. And I'm glad he doesn't care if he's right or not. Because it's important to walk around confidently declaring you know the future, even though you are rarely right. And it's important for all of us to, you know, read people like that and really digest the information. Of course it's not. Of course it's a waste of time. But it is amazing as we go through a week like this, with all the hand-wringing, it won't be enough, they won't do enough, they won't this, they won't that, it can't work, it won't be this. All of this just goes on and on. It just drones on with great certainty. Will it work? I don't know. I don't know. You don't know? Peter Schiff doesn't know. Doesn't matter. He'll sell whatever. I don't even know what he sells. What does he sell? Gold Bug Digest of some kind? I don't know. And then out of the woodwork, we get the gold again because it's moved what? You know, a little tiny bit in the last couple weeks. So now everybody's all, man, I can't even get off my any internet page I'm on. You know, it's, you know, why the French banned this video, or can you believe what the CIA agent is saying? A retired guy is, you know, Americans are going to get their own now. And all these things that point you back to gold. It's crazy. Crazy. And we learn nothing. We don't seem to, because some people must be clicking on those things or they would stop showing up. They really would. But I think the thing that really drives me this week as I'm thinking about that is all the certainty of what or will not, what will happen or what will not happen, what's going to work and what's not going to work. I don't know how people can be that certain, other than I understand they're just selling stuff. But why do we really take it in and listen? And they do, people do. I'm not just saying this one over here, I'm sure it wouldn't show up. I'm saying they're interviewed, they're talked. Here's the honest answer. Nobody knows yet. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, it inarguably worked in the U.S. Is it done? No, because we have to unwind it. But the fact of stopping it was not catastrophic. Tapering was not catastrophic, as was widely known would happen. Everybody knew that with great certainty, that once they stopped, X would happen. No. And once they, well, you know, the tapering itself, that, no, that didn't end anything either. We don't know what's going to happen. And I bet you this, I'll bet you their QE doesn't work exactly like ours. No, I mean, they may be doing the same thing, but the reaction of the markets might be different. Now, I don't mean catastrophically, but to sit there, and you'll hear lots of this, well, this is what happened 3 months in and then 6 months into the U.S. QE, and so we think you should buy this sector because that's what worked at this juncture of QE in the United States. Because the human mind works this way. A plus B equals C. And we draw a line from dot on graph A to B to C, and then it keeps going, right? So that's what's going to happen. So we've seen A, B, and C, and we know it's just going to keep going in that perfect linear line. It won't. But that's the way the mind works. All human minds do. We're linear thinkers. We boom, boom, 1 foot in front of the other. Follow the tracks equals food. A, B, C, we project out what's going to happen. Totally the way our mind works. And it's totally not the way the markets work. It may work for a while, but the market shifts directions so that A, B, C shifts on you. But with all certainty, we're sure we were heading to D when we veered off. So I think the best thing to do as we are listening to the certainty of what's going to happen, that we continue always asking the wrong questions. What's going to happen in Europe? What's going to happen in the U.S.? What's Obama going to do next? Well, I think Congress is going to remain dysfunctional. The list goes on. And you can go back and look at them and just laugh. Just laugh with all the certainty that when QE ends, it's all phony. And we're going to have hyperinflation. Interest rates are going higher, way, way up. All that certainty, all that known, this is going to happen. And we still are hanging on the very people whose certainty was certainly dead wrong. Interesting. If you're really negative and you make a good negative argument, you have a following. No matter that you're really rarely right. Doesn't really matter. Apparently. But when we think about all that has transpired just in the last few years, especially with regards to post the Great Recession, and we are now getting to where the ECB is doing their QE. We started our 6 years ago, right? Worked out pretty good. I can already hear the yeah buts, and that's fine. Give us a call. 580-543-6580-KIDO if you feel it. Yeah, it's not going to work. That's great. We'll talk about it. As long as it just won't work because they're printing money and we'll have inflation, that's not really an argument because that's what we did here, right? But happy to talk about it. Dialogue with you if you have an opinion as to say why it won't work. And I don't know that it's going to work. Right? I mean that. I'm just trying not to be certain of the outcome of the future. I'd like to position with actual respect to and humility. It's called diversification, which we're going to talk about in the second hour again. It's fascinating to me in our education segment, this diversification. And the lack of understanding in our own human nature about it, right? When one sector does so well, why didn't we have more there? Our own human nature, you know, playing games with us, really. So is the ECB, we're sure it is going to work or not going to work. Nobody really knows. But we're asking the wrong questions. Will it work? And the answer really is this, right? So I love it when I was put on, you know, somebody asked me one time, but Dave, what is the right question then? Ah, good point. Can't just say what's wrong. How about what's right? The right question. What's cheap? What's dear? Simple. And that is, I'm going to oversimplify, of course. It's not that simple because defining what is cheap doesn't mean it doesn't get cheaper. It usually does. And I phrase it this way. How arrogant of me to say, you know, now that I'm going to go ahead and add more to my developing market stake because it's so cheap. How arrogant it would be to say, that marks the bottom. That undoubtedly will mark the bottom because I bought. Because I targeted the bottom. I nailed the bottom. No, it's really, I don't. It is arrogant. So what we need to do is recognize that when we're buying cheap, it tends to get cheaper. When we're selling expensive, it keeps going up. And that is hard to do. It has to be a systematic approach. You have to develop scars to it. You really do. First couple times you do it, you just feel like a fool. I just sold off and it kept going higher. It's all right. And that's why it's not an all or none thing. We don't go all in because we think something's cheap. We go part in thinking it could, is likely to get even cheaper. And when it does, we have more ammunition to add to it. We don't say this marks the top. We say, wow, that has really done well. Let's trim some of our gains and reposition into some cheaper assets. Trimming on the way up, harvesting those gains, buying on the way down, not guessing tops and bottoms, that will also drive you crazy. And it does. It does drive people crazy. Nearly drives them to a loony bin at times. I've seen it. Seriously. Oh, it isn't. No, in the abstract, none of this, all this sounds really easy to do. It's just when you're in it. Like, when do I pull the trigger on my Micron options? Oh, you should have been pulling it. What do you mean? Trim it as you go. Oh, you mean I don't make a guess for where the top is within a week of when they come due? No. Not if you like to sleep and you don't want your back knotted up in anxiety. And you don't want to throw all the gains away because there's a normal, certain to occur over and over again all the days of our life, market correction a couple months before your options are due. Why do you do that? Why do people do that to themselves? I mean, they really think they nailed it? It's like, I got it all figured out. I got all the Micron cycle. I know I missed it 20 years ago, you know, when there was flying high and all that stuff. And I know I missed it then. I know I threw away $1 million. I know. But this time, I got it. Most people don't do that, but some do. Some do. And we all do it to a degree where we find certainty in what we're looking at, the numbers we are looking at. And so we find with great certainty the people this week, the great market commentators, whether QE in Europe is going to work or not. But here's the other part of it, right? They don't know. They really don't know. I don't know. I suspect it'll work. It worked here. I suspect it will, but I don't really know. And their market won't react the exact same way as ours, even though we have this recent, right, playbook. But the players are different. It's just different. And that's a really important thing to remember as we go into this, right? Okay, but this is all the certainty everybody sure. Here's what is going to happen with QE. And again, we don't know. But remember this when they're telling you with great certainty that it won't work. And that's the overwhelming number of people. Why? Well, because bad news sells. It just does. It just does. I'm going to give you another example later today. It just absolutely blows my mind. Blows my mind. Just recent news here, right? It's about the Swiss franc. But bad news sells. Good news doesn't. Yep, I think QE is going to be great. Let's go over here and talk to the bear, okay? He's a lot more fun. He's going to tell us how it's all going to melt down, and he'll give us some good press. We can batter around. Not that it's all going to work out. Who was that guy anyway? Don't ever have him on the program again. It's all negative all the time. Same people. Never right. Doesn't make any difference at all. All the hand-wringing heading into this, and you know what? Those folks don't own any stocks. They're underinvested. They're praying for a market crash. That's why everything, the sky is blue. Well, I think that's terrible for stocks. Yeah? I think the gravitational pull to the equator, yeah, that's terrible for stocks. Oh, yeah, you know what? There's a hole in the ozone somewhere over the North Pole. That's terrible for stocks. I heard it was really warm in the desert. That must be terrible for stocks. QE's terrible. Everything's terrible. Interest rates rising. Interest rates falling. Obama. It doesn't matter. They don't own stocks. They want them to go down. Remember that. They want to sell you a newsletter. The Doomsday Digest. Here we go. There it is. For only $150 a year, we'll steer you through the maze of debris. That's what we'll do. You don't know. I don't know. Here's what I do know. You don't bet at all. I don't know the outcome. It'll be different than I think, even if I'm basically right. And bottom line, of all bottom lines, it'll work out. Because it always does. And the market will go to all-time highs, and it'll have bad market corrections, and people will run around with their hair on fire for no reason at all, scaring people, and they'll continue to scare people out of the greatest investment that there's ever been. Nothing is even close, and we all got to run around with our hair on fire, afraid of all of history, because that's what we do. That's exactly what we do. Don't give me a bunch of facts. I'm going to believe what I believe. And I believe everything sucks. That's what I believe. I don't believe that the world is abundant. I don't feel that way. Because if I don't feel that way, it isn't so. Well, it's so. I think the market's going to crash based on, I just feel it in my gut. But all of history says it isn't going to go away. It might go down. Do you mean crash like it'll have a normal correction? No, I mean down. Because I was reading this guy, and he's all doom and gloom, and there's three moon sun things going, blood moon things, something like that, going on. And it's all going to end. Okay? I don't know how to invest around it's all going to end. I don't know what works, and it's all going to end. Don't know how to answer that. You win. You win. Stocks won't work. It's all good, man. You're right. You're right. But I don't know what to put you in. I'm not sure. We have got to set aside so much of that noise in times, especially when a big announcement, right? Here we go again. And understand that the people that are telling you how bad it is are selling stuff and promoting things. And playing to your emotions. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. The question of the day, right? How do you shut out but still listen, right? How do you track the news but tone down the noise? Do Do you have a trick? Do you do that? I mean, like I limit myself only to X amount. I only read a couple of things over here. I just tune out all the blog crap on the internet. What do you do? How do you do that? Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-54-DAVE-PETZO on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. I have to tell you, it was just one of those things that was, I don't know why. You know how some days are like that, right, where you just wake up and you just, I'm really happy today. I just really am. I don't know that it'll last all day, right, but it's one of those things where you just, for some reason in my own brain, I'm just remembering some of the great things that, you know, in my life, great moments, great people. And just the general blessings that I have in my life, and some days are just not quite like that, right? But I was just kind of reflecting on the way, and going, man, you're feeling pretty good today, aren't you? You know, you just have that extra energy, and I hope that's your day today as you wake up. And I know some of you are just really are just waking up right now, and anyway, I hope so, and I hope you have a wonderful day today. Our number here, you know how you really make my top my day? You'd call here, right? It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Now, I know I hear from time to time, heard from a couple people this week too, right, that they're stealth listeners. That's how they phrase it, stealth listeners, that they'd never call in. But remember, we do also have an email, right? And it's dave@petzofinancial.net. And, of course, we just give out your first name, right? You know, I don't care if you write down your name's Bob when it's Jim or whatever. So anyway, we'd love to hear from you either way, whatever way you're comfortable. And I know there's a lot of people that don't. But if we hit on something, and I do have that, you know, we do want to know what your thoughts are and what you're thinking about. And how do you, today, our question today, how do you stay positive, right? How do you get news, right? Some news. Do you make sure you only watch a certain amount, certain kinds, certain inputs? You avoid all the blogs. You limit your thinking to a certain your reading to certain inputs. How do you get information on what's going on in the world without the depression of running into the constant, well, stupidity? Really, there's so much stupidity out there, so much misleading stuff. How do you do that and remain positive? We'd love to hear from you. 580-KIDO. And in our education segment, I'm going to talk about this recent, the currency losses. This is big, okay? So the beginning of the next hour, if you don't understand all you want to know about, you know, currency losses, currencies, commodities, and how that impacts, I'm going to break it down a little bit. It's actually pretty important. And what we've heard, a lot of noise here recently, it goes to show how much misinformation there really is. All right, I see I've got a call coming in here, but what I'm going to do is I need to get our Fox News out of the way, and we'd also love to hear from you at 580-KIDO or dave@petzofinancial.net. We'll be right back after Fox News.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Money Matters with Dave Petzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Also, if you prefer email, that's dave@petzofinancial.net. Let's go to the phones. Jim, hey, thanks for hanging on through the commercial there.
Morning, Dave. What's happening?
Morning. Hey, I'm having a perfect day.
Yeah. Sun's actually coming up.
I know. Wasn't it nice yesterday? I mean, seriously, what a difference in attitude, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, when the sun's coming back from the south. The sun's been in Argentina. Now it's coming up. It's about in Paraguay, and it's working its way north.
We had a little ways to go yet, but you're right. Yep. Every day's getting longer.
Well, how do I stay positive? Well, for one thing, I'm not greedy. I don't worry about losing, and I don't pay attention to anything. You know, I'll read things maybe on the Internet. I'm not on the Internet all the time. And whatever anybody says, I discount it, you know. It just doesn't affect me.
But no, except for me, right? I mean, you don't discount what I say, do you?
Well, I just happen to agree with you that the economy is doing well, you know. And if the economy doesn't do well, we're all in the same boat and we can't do anything about it.
Right.
So, and, you know, as you know, I'm partial to stocks. And any particular stock I buy, I like, and, I stick with it.
Right. No,
I just did my analysis, my year-end analysis.
Mm-hmm.
As I understand it, all three indexes, NASDAQ, Dow, and S&P 500, all of them were between 13 and 14%, right?
Nope. Just the S&P was up that high. The Dow was lower, so was the NASDAQ. And then when you talk about the major indices, I have to say, too, you have to include some small cap like Russell in there, right?
Right.
Russell was actually up only 3% last year.
Okay, see, the thing is, okay, get on Yahoo Finance,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
on historical prices.
Right.
Right? Okay, so they'll give, you know, for instance, January 2nd, 2013, right?
Right.
Okay, I'll take that. And then I'll take January 2nd or 3rd, whatever it is, 2014, subtract the two. Now, that should be the increase, shouldn't it?
Well, unless you have dividends as well, right? But they also, if you're on Yahoo Finance, they also, you know, the far right column there on there adjusts for dividends and stock splits both. So you can get it all. You don't have to actually go back and add in the dividends. Just make sure you're in the right column.
So that that includes dividends?
Yes, it does on the far right, because what it'll do is adjust for each dividend, adjust the price down.
Okay. Well, okay. What were the indexes for last year? The Dow and the NASDAQ.
Oh, I think I'd have to go back and look. And we just recently did a program, so that's also archived there. But I believe that the Russell 2000, which is small caps, was up about 3 for the year. The MSCI World Index was actually down. Meaning that includes the U.S., but that's the global, so any foreign included in there as well, and the U.S. But the Dow, I thought, was up around 8 or 9. Again, you're testing my memory here. But the S&P, I'm sure, was up 13.
Okay.
And the NASDAQ, honestly, is such a tech-weighted index. I don't usually pay that much attention, and it gets by me, Jim. I don't know. I don't even want to speculate.
Well, you know, at any rate, I have a total of about 55 stocks, I think. I select, 32. So I've got 32 stocks. My stocks were up 20.0%. My advisor's stocks were up 9.6%. And railroads, I'm partial to railroads. I had 6 railroads. They were up, combined 25.9%. So I'm giving myself congratulations on the market.
You should. You should open your own hedge fund with numbers like that, man.
Well, you know, the thing is, I mean, I just buy what I like.
Yeah.
And I don't care what, any advisor says or anything else. I mean, she's been telling me, for one thing, her advisors are saying, get out of, we have Steel Dynamics,
Okay.
But I like Steel Dynamics. And maybe things are going away from steel. I don't know. But I'm not going to sell just because I hear that.
Right. Well, besides, Jim, what we know isn't worth knowing, right? And that's a tough one. What we know isn't worth knowing, meaning it's already been priced in. So by the time we hear back, hey, we're not using as much steel, it's like, duh, really? As if everybody on Wall Street sits around going, wow, I wonder why sales are down. I wonder I just don't know. Oh, good. The headline of the Statesman told me. Finally, I know, after all these years, why steel, the amount of steel going down is going down. It's not. We react to all the news instantaneously, and it's forward thinking as to what's going to be transpiring 6 months. In the case of biotech stocks and things like that, it could be out years. Those companies are not reacting to, well, we made gobs of money last quarter. No, they're losing money. The question is how's that drug coming along, and will it be the billion-dollar drug that everybody's dreaming of? Does it make it through the trials, right?
Yeah.
That's not earnings-based. That's not right-now-based. That's future-based. So when we talk about the market moving ahead, there's no consistency in that either, because some companies, people are thinking about the next quarter. Some of them are thinking about next year. right? There's a company out there, LNG, right? LNG is a liquid natural gas. They've got the only facility that's going to be coming online to liquefy natural gas and export it off our shores. They've got contracts. That, you know, I know you're going to think, oh, my gosh, this guy's really touting it. Here's the point. For years, this stock has moved from, like, $10 a share for the last several years, as they've been doing nothing but spending money, made no money at all, have billions, tens of billions of dollars committed to this facility, and the stock has moved on up to $70. It's been a home run, and they don't make any money, and they still won't until the end of this year. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's far-sighted.
Well, speaking of, I guess, natural gas, I've got one company, and this is what she selected at the beginning of last year, so I've had it about a year, Williams Companies, and I think they do natural gas, but they paid four dividends, and they've had three dividend increases.
Right. Yep.
So, you know, anyway.
Yep.
I mean, some of them are really good, and, you know. Anyway, that's how I say positive, just don't worry about anything. Don't. I mean, everybody can buy their own individual stocks, though.
Yes.
I mean, most people invest in mutual funds and like that. So anyway.
And that's true. But most people are not really good at buying their own individual stocks. And I don't mean because they buy the wrong ones. They worry too much about them. They fuss about them. Right?
Yeah, just, you know, don't tune the stuff out. And whatever you read, don't pay attention to.
Okay. All right, Jim.
Take care.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. You know what? I think he hit on, you know, the key for happiness, right? I mean, really, and good stock picking and good management of your money. Contentment. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Matters with Dave Petzel on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. And again, I don't know why I'm just having this amazingly good day. I know it doesn't happen every day. It doesn't. Doesn't to me. Doesn't to anybody. You just wake up and go, woohoo! Just glad to be alive, but I am today. I'm having fun, and I would love to hear from you. Really, let's just come and chit-chat. Give us a call. And again, our question of the day is, how do you, what do you do to kind of like filter the news, right? How do you hear all the problems in the world? We all know that if it doesn't bleed, it doesn't lead. We know that 90% or more of all articles are negative. And it doesn't matter if it's financial articles or just general, you know, I don't know, what do you want to call them? General worthless information, right? You know, who's sleeping with who in Hollywood, that kind of stuff. It's all negative, right? It all is. It all is. It's all rumor, innuendo, all that stuff. How do you filter that and get some information if you have a trick? Well, actually, here's one here. This is great. So, and also, if you prefer email, that's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. Dave, how do I get my news? Well, mostly off the Internet, but I try to impose the filter of fact versus opinion. I put significant value on the reported facts. When what I read is clearly interpretation, I view that as possible, but probably unreliable. For example, just this last week, there were three articles in the price of oil. One said oil was headed back up and would top $200 a barrel. The second said it was likely to go below $30 a barrel. And the third said it would never again go above $100 a barrel. Obviously, all three of these articles were opinion, so I chose not to read any of them except the headline. The worst thing I believe anyone can do is to believe that any one opinion is so important that it can't be wrong. In the words of Joe Friday from Dragnet, just the facts, ma'am. I give away my age, Mike. Mike, thank you. And I like that line, by the way. I guess I give away my age, too. Because I know exactly what you're talking about. What a very interesting idea. And I think that's true for a lot of us. That works really well for people that have a high level of common sense. It does. Because you can filter through. And I get that. So in your case, I don't think there's really any danger of scouring the internet because you have a nice BS filter. For other people, when they hear about blood moons or the U.S. dollar collapse because of Bill 2254 or this CIA agent guy over here says, what's up with America? They're all going to die. You know, or there's some hottie over here, don't click on, or click on this, why this video is banned or whatever. I mean, I can't even believe anybody would click on it. All I know is if I clicked on something like that, I'm 100% sure that I've got the most deadly virus invading my computer now. At the very least, there's got to be some kind of alert out there for all the sharks, right? Like, this guy will click on anything, send him stuff. I don't know. Excuse me. But at any rate, it is you have a good filter. I am concerned about folks that don't have such a good filter. That's the concern as well. But I like it. I like it. Kind of a nice, good BS filter on there. If it's too strong an opinion, not worth your time. The other one that I personally, this is the one I personally guard against for me, is confirmation bias. I try to be very careful to periodically get at least a thoughtful, bearish comment or two to really read, right, to go on through. Because my general confirmation is that it's bullish. It's good. The economy will keep growing. In the long run, stocks will keep growing. I don't worry too much about pullbacks short term. They don't bother me. I have really firmly re-characterized risk in my mind as the long-term risk, what risk really is. Excuse me, is that my assets won't grow faster than inflation, won't give me enough income above inflation, that the real dollars won't make it. I've redefined it. I don't define risk as, oh, my gosh, my portfolio went from $1 million to $995,000. I just lost $5,000 today. Oh, I hope I get it back tomorrow. To me, that's nutty, but I know and I realize that on a three-month basis, a one-year basis, this is often how people define risk, is what we define it as, only by volatility. And yet it's interesting when we look at a retirement portfolio, we look at what people do with pensions, endowments, institutional managers. For example, they go buy, let's say, a big skyscraper as a real estate play in a portfolio. Maybe a few of them, right? You know, these big multi-billion dollar endowments, pension funds. But then they don't reprice it every 6 months or wonder if it's a good idea. They'll hold it for 10, 20, 30, 40 years in a portfolio. They have lifelong plus, and since they're endowments, forever time frames. They're buying. What did I do? What's the market going to do? How do we define risk? Oh, my gosh, it went down. Look how much it went down this quarter. They don't. Why do we? It's crazy, right? It's crazy. Our behavior is crazy. So if we can redefine that risk, we obviously do a lot better emotionally, when we redefine risk and put it in its proper place. Will my capital grow? Will my income grow faster than the rate of inflation all the days of my life, no matter how long I live? All right, we're going to take a break here for Fox News and bunches of commercials and stuff. And when we come back, though, I'm going to talk about currency losses. Hundreds of millions were lost, they say. Is that true?
We'll probably have it all over your house. Cash potential on shelves and closets and especially in the garage. It's all waiting to make you money at the 8th annual Idaho's Largest Garage Sale. If you've got stuff that you don't use anymore, sell it for extra cash at Idaho's Largest Garage Sale. Saturday, May 16th at Expo Idaho. Thousands of buyers will flock to Expo Idaho for one day to score great bargains and give you some extra cash. Start organizing and reserve your booth space now. All the details are at Idaho's Largest Garage Sale.com.
This Valentine's Day, send your sweetheart the gift that shines above all others. Name a star after them. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will name a star after your sweetheart and send a beautiful gift package. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.
Money Matters upcoming. These are my opinions and my opinions only, not the station, not my broker-dealer. We're going to talk about, sometimes we talk about stocks. That's not a reason to buy them or sell them. Don't know what your portfolio looks like. We talk about sectors all the time. What's cheap? What's dear? That doesn't mean you go load up the boat. So many people play this all-or-none game like, I know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. Even if we got it right, how many times have you and I talked about this, right, over the years? About, okay, nailed interest rates, they did this, nailed this. If you're, or a greatest example I know of is like 2010, 11, and 12, right? If you knew that Europe was about to implode, if you knew the debt crisis that was going to happen over there with Greece and all the pigs nations and all that, you'd certainly, at the very least, avoid Europe. Let alone stocks of any kind. I mean, you know, the list goes on, right? And, of course, they rocked during those years. Just not last year, so everybody's all freaked out because if you have anything foreign, maybe we should throw out everything foreign and only go with U.S. because the dollar is really strong. And if you had foreign stocks, you basically threw away all of your gains for the year. This year. That certainly isn't true historically, but that's okay. When the years, when we have only the S&P doing well, nothing else doing well, small caps, bonds, international, none of that doing well, then why aren't we just in the S&P 500? That's what I want to know. Of course, we want to all index. Here's my prediction for the next 3 to 5 years. Diversified managed portfolios will outperform the index. Why do I make such a bold prediction? Because whatever's working today won't tomorrow. And whatever's not working today will tomorrow. It's the way of the world. It always is. And we never believe it or do it at the time because the only thing we can know as linear thinking human beings is it A to B and keep drawing the line. It's like driving your car through the rearview mirror. It works until the road turns. And then it's a disaster. But we repeat that behavior every single cycle. It's absolutely astounding. Nobody's interested in gold until it moves. All I can read are gold articles. Seriously? It's like, what did it bump off of a, you know, everybody is going to go to $3,000 an ounce as we approach 1,800 to 2,000. What did it top out at? 2,000? Falls down to 1,200. We bounce to 1,300. And now we're all, woohoo! I want to buy a pretty brick that doesn't do anything. Oh, my gosh. I got to get pretty bricks, pretty bricks. What does it pay? Nothing. What does it do? Nothing. But it looks pretty. Wow. Crazy. Crazy. It's crazy. It's too late. I don't understand these financial assets. I don't understand pretty bricks. I'm sorry. I just don't. I don't get it. All right. Enough of that nonsense. You didn't tune in for that. We tuned in for our education segment. Right now, and I want to talk about currencies. Isn't that fun? Isn't that exciting? Actually, it did become very exciting this past week. Here's what the headlines are. Hundreds of millions of dollars lost when the Swiss franc spiked in a surprise move by the Swiss central bank. Totally shocked the world. Totally. Hundreds of millions. And then, of course, now people are running around with their hair on fire. And they really were. This could cause contagion. Remember, just a little country, Thailand. In 1997, caused the Asian currency crisis.
Wow, this is serious, isn't it? I didn't even... I'm
not following the Swiss franc. What happened here, man? Hundreds of millions. It could be worse. Banks may be shut down. And if you trade in Swiss francs, and you're like in Poland, and you have a bank, that could fold the whole financial system was already precarious in Europe. Wow. This sounds really bad. And, of course, you know, I mean, la-di-da, the market. Actually, the European market, which is right there connected, actually went up that day. It did. It actually went up pretty good. Were hundreds of millions of dollars lost? By some, yes. Are you ready for this? You didn't see this in the news. I know you didn't because I'm like, I made phone calls to make sure I hadn't fallen out of bed, hit my head, and forgot what I thought I knew. I really did. I picked up the phone and I talked to the commodities people and currency people at J.P. Morgan to make sure I hadn't lost my mind, because the information, the data flowing, was literally on every newspaper, Wall Street Journal included, best newspaper there is. Hundreds of millions of dollars lost. End of story. That's it. Hedge funds closing, all of the ramifications. It's frightening. You see, currency trading, commodities trading, is a sum-zero game. If somebody lost $100 million and shut down their hedge fund, I'm sorry about those people in that hedge fund. But $100 million, not a penny more, not a penny less, was also made by someone or multiple others, whatever pieces of it, and however you want to divide it up. It's a sum-zero game. If somebody is long a currency, meaning they think it's going higher, then somebody else is short an equal and opposite amount. Period. If oil collapses and speculators lose hundreds of millions of dollars on the collapse of oil, there's an equal and opposite amount of money that was made on the oil. But that's not how it's reported. Ever. If it doesn't bleed, it doesn't lead. Well, that's no kind of story. In a surprise move, the Swiss allowed their franc to float freely. And it spiked as much as 30% before settling in as a 15% increase in a day. Outside of the emerging market world, we've never seen that kind of volatility in a day. Many traders were caught off guard, and hundreds of millions of dollars exchanged hands. Weren't lost, they exchanged hands. This will probably close several hedge funds, and maybe even some banks that were on the wrong side of this highly speculative trade. They were gambling on a currency move. That's what these gamblers do. Some of them even leveraged themselves because they believed they couldn't be wrong. Those gamblers will be out of business now, and their assets have been transferred to the accounts of the other gamblers on the other side of the trade. That's the news. Not hundreds of millions lost, hundreds of millions exchanged hands. It's a sum-zero game. It's very important to understand that, because as we look for reasons why, especially in our human nature of doom and gloom, of why we're all going to die and it's not going to work out and our cash accounts are going to go down, whatever the Federal Reserve is doing is it's stupid, Bernanke is stupid, all the Federal Reserve chairmen, they're stupid,
We need to go into gold. We need to go into pretty bricks and stuff like that because whatever reason, understand, this isn't another reason because hundreds of millions of dollars exchanged hands between gamblers. It isn't. It wasn't. It wasn't. Currencies and commodities are a sum-zero game. That's why it's so dangerous and deadly to play. Because here's what you're really doing. I'm
pretty sure that the ABC, you know, the ruble is going to go up.
Okay. And they're going to bet in a sum-zero game against a professional on the other side. Good luck with that. I, who know the ranking of hands in poker, I, who think I'm pretty smart, I, who have played a little bit of poker, very little, not much. It actually, I can't, yeah, just a little bit. I'm going to go play the World Series of Poker because I know how the game works. Really? I don't know why I just don't, I mean, why bother getting a room? I ought to just mail my 10 grand, isn't 10,000 enter? Just mail my 10 grand in. I have zero chance of winning. They're professionals. It's what they do. Zero. If I have extraordinary luck, I might get through, you know, whatever, one or two tables or whatever. I might not be the first person out. But I'm not going to win. I'm not going to win any money. It's extraordinary. But that's why you don't play. But it's a sum-zero game. Watch what we're reading, the inputs. What's going to happen with this? Money was transferred from one group of gamblers to another. Done. That's what really happened. And yes, the ECB was mad because they were surprised. Nobody likes to be surprised when you're trying to coordinate activity globally. The other repercussions of what stocks to own and what's going to happen now with the Swiss franc being very heavily, they're moving heavily up in value, is the same as we do now with the U.S. dollar versus the euro. Because it's moved a lot over the last 12 months. Not in a day like the Swiss franc did, but over the past year. And it's affected any foreign holdings negatively, as we talked about last hour. Currencies move. It's important to understand that it's not just this isolated thing. And when it comes to all commodities, all things, all negative, there's a winner on the other side if what we're talking about is a loser. And if you're talking about how much money somebody made, there's a loser or a bunch of losers, smaller amounts that add up to the same amount. Sum zero. $1 billion made on one side, $1 billion lost on the other. Not like stocks. It's not true with stocks. Well, what about the short sellers? I get you. I hear you. Okay? Well, there's not as many. And they will lose as a stock goes up. But when the value of a company, collectively, goes from, say, $100 billion over time to $200 billion, that's winning. That's all of us basically win. You can bet against it if you're a speculator, and you would have lost. And those losses would have been added to the wins on the other side. But basically, people own stocks, and that doesn't mean that there is somebody equally and opposite on the other side. The same with bonds. But not so with commodities. Not so with currencies. Be careful what we read. I don't believe that I've seen that many doomsday headlines in a second, right? In a day, whatever, about what was going to happen with all these losses, and not one mention. Not one. Not one that I saw of the fact that it was money transferred to the opposite side of the ledger. It was just lost, like it was just vaporized in the world. And I remember during the Great Recession, people misunderstanding this, Well, with stocks, so they say, and I'm making up numbers, that $10 trillion was lost. And I think that was very close, 9, 10 trillion. But anyway, it doesn't matter. X trillion dollars was lost. So, Dave, who won that? Who got that money? The answer is nobody did. Oh, there's a few people that made a buck or two being short. That's all. It isn't a sum-zero game. When stocks grow or shrink in value, the money simply increases in the world or decreases. It isn't transferred from one pocket to another. But it is with commodities. Now, you might say, are there really that many people out there, say, short oil? And the answer is no, there's not. Most of it is hedged. Let's use oil or energy or stuff that people really use, commodities, right? Not currencies. And currencies are the same way, too, to a degree, but more complicated. So let me wrap this up with this. Oil companies say, and many of them, this is a big deal today, have hedged their production for the next month, 6 months, year, even 2 years. They've hedged it by selling or shorting contracts out in the market. And then there's buyers of those. Now, those buyers could be airlines. In other words, natural users of the oil and natural producers. It's not all gamblers. It's also people that are just hedging their need for energy or their production of energy or corn, soybeans, whatever. So there's a large natural market there for a farmer. It started this way. Think of it this way. So a farmer's going to grow corn, and he gets it planted in the spring, knows there'll be at least, 1,000 bushels of corn coming out, and prices are okay. He can be profitable. Takes the risk off the table by selling that production that'll be available next September. That's where the natural commodities market evolved. Of course, it's become global and things like that. But remember, it's sum zero. Equal amount of winners and losers on both sides. And when they lever up, and you lever up, which you can do, and you blow up, sorry it happened, but you were gambling, and you went all in. And you didn't get the river card. You don't always. But it is not just gone. And this is how we receive our news every day, isn't it? Just the general acceptance that, hundreds of millions was lost. Could be a currency crisis. End of story. Careful, our inputs. And our question for the day along the same lines, right? Want to hear from you. How do you tune in to the news, right? You know what's going on in the world, but tune out the noise. How do you think through all of that? How do you stay reasonably positive in an overly negative flow of news? And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. On 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Hey, we're talking about all the negative news in the world today, but anything you want to talk about, love to visit with you. And I'm not really sure why we're just not getting any calls this week, but Jim, thank you for calling. But limited calls. Now, while we're ringing up those calls and questions, I'd love to also give you out the email address, and that's dave@petzofinancial.net, if you prefer an email question, which is what I have before me right now. Now that gasoline is cheap, can we lower the percentage of ethanol in it? Ron from Weezer. Ron, thanks for the question. First of all, Yeah, we can, but we could before, because ethanol is incredibly expensive. The only way they could ever produce it before was with federal subsidies, which many people have been trying to get rid of for a while. It's a great idea. We grow crops, and then we somehow it's magically green. And because, really, the reality of being a lover of the earth is that you really only have to feel. There isn't any real evidence. We don't have to actually do stuff. We just want to feel good about what we do. And don't want to get messed up in facts. Because, you know, the reality of the fact is that I don't know of anybody that thinks it's awesome to, like, you know, figure out a way to destroy the earth. Really? It's really a crazy argument of whether people care more than others. But here's the point. With ethanol, it doesn't do as good as gas, right, for producing power. But also we have to fire up those tractors, which burn carbon, and pollute. And we have to grow a whole bunch of stuff to then turn into ethanol and then put it in gasoline. As if none of that activity is creating carbon, a carbon footprint, which is bigger, by the way, than the ethanol savings. So it is a crazy thing we've done, but you're not going to be able to get it out quickly. We're not going to be able to change it quickly because the Midwest is reliant on, a lot of them are reliant on growing corn to throw in the gas tank instead of feeding the world. So we have artificially high corn prices. We grow too much of it. And again, the whole point is we all feel better about it, don't we? I feel better. I feel better. Even if it doesn't actually help, it actually hurts. It's a good thing to try. Because it's really all about trying. It's not about facts and things. It's about feeling good and trying. And so, unfortunately, this is one area that I don't think is going to change at all. I sure wish it would. That does not make any sense, hasn't made any sense. And actually, this particular input is going to be more expensive. Okay? Hey, thanks for the call. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Hey, we just lost a caller. Hey, come on, call back. Here, we'll have you call back. But anyway, our board is clear. We'd love to hear from you. And right now we're going to take a break here for Fox News. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. On 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO, and we do have several lines available. Also, if you prefer email, it's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Further, if you want to shoot us an email during the week, you can use that email address, or you just go to our website. It's PetsoFinancial.com. There's also archived radio programs, a couple of special clips, and some different things where I teach my 10 investment commandments, things like that, as well as articles and calculators to help you with your financial planning. Let's go to Fred Meridian. Fred, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Fred.
I'll try to make it short. Okay. Many, many years ago, I started following the stock market and making up phony accounts and, you know, running them for 6 months a year. And, you know, a real enjoyable thing. I didn't have a lot of money to invest. I have some invested now. But my question is, when I was doing that many years ago, the swings would be like one day it might go up 10, maybe 20 or 30, and then down the same amount. And as time has gone on, the swings have gotten greater and greater. Now one day it can be up 200, the next day it can be down 250. Will that ever straighten out, or is it going to be that way from now on?
Fred, it's a good question, but we have to go back to also the value.
And I'm not sure exactly the time frame on this, so let me just say when I first started in the industry, the Dow was approximately $800, 800. It actually fell down to 750 18 months later, marking the bottom of that bear market, and then we started into the great bull market that lasted really 20 years. I know we had an 87 crash, stuff like that, but my point is that 800 versus today, let's just call it 17,000. I know it's a little more, but let's take that, okay?
Okay.
So when we talk about the swings of a couple hundred points, okay, that's, yeah, can I round down so we're getting the right number? Let's say it's 170 points up, and then we close down 170 points. And that's big, and that's awful, but that's a 2% swing for the day, right? Because okay. It's 1%. It's a big number. But as a part of the value, it's not as much as we think. Now, contrast that with years ago, where it, say, 800, and the market goes up 8 points and closes down 8 points. You go, it didn't look like much happened today. And it's the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the exact same. So I think our perspective of, because of the numbers, the size and the dollars, is twisted a little bit. But I will say this. There are machines driving trading that at times have no sense whatsoever to what's going on. And the best examples right this week, I mean, or one example, not the best. There's multiple examples out there. But one of them happened this week. Okay, the ECB announces this incredibly large QE program. Yay, the market says. And then instantly, you know, moments later, it goes down. So the market is going to be up 100 points or whatever. We thought it was coming. It isn't all that fresh of news. And it's not even a 1% move, but it goes up. And then within minutes, it's down. And then it shoots up for the day, and we end up 200 and plus points.
That's what's confusing to me.
Right. And that part is machines. That's just machines moving stuff around for no reason at all. Without humans on the exchange, then there's nobody to catch these moves. There are no market makers. And those are the people that actually would slow market movements down by literally taking stock in. So, Fred, you want to freak out and you want to move the market, fine. Then there'll be a market maker that's trying to put the brakes on it. So you and other people are sell, 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 and they're once in a while will become a buyer. That's the specialist, instead of just letting a free fall until you find buyers. And machines just putting out sell orders without humans instantly do move the market around. That, to me, is a fundamental problem. And it's absolute BS that it adds more liquidity to the market. It does not. It takes liquidity out. And liquidity out meaning, hey, who wants to play in nonsense like that? When you
it's
right?
Kind of stupid.
It is.
Well, I mean, for instance, this week the market was down for the most part. And my portfolio that I have with you actually went up.
Well, that's...
And those are the things that I really... tough for me to understand.
Well, and the other thing is hard, too, in all these, is hard to get a perspective that, you know, when we measure out the volatility, we measure out the problems of the past, we live in now. We don't live in the past. We may remember the past, but you know, hey, God has also blessed us with this beautiful memory of good things in the past that overshadow the negative. Now, that makes it fun, more fun for our life. But it also makes us think that the problems today are much bigger and grander than the little stuff we dealt with in the past. It's not true. We just haven't resolved the problems of today.
It seems that way, though.
It does seem that way. But that's our human nature. That's how we're wired. And so we have to simply say, I'm wired that way. I'm wired to go A, B, C is next in a market that doesn't do that. So we have to simply change that. We also are wired to accept news as new. It's not. It's old. It's yesterday's reporting. This has already transpired. And frankly, Fred and everybody else, it doesn't have anything to do with what's going to happen tomorrow. But let's breathlessly talk about it to make sure you're listening to us right now, because the world is ending.
And that's what you hear 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
That's right.
And we're supposed, see, human nature does not allow us to just take that in and go, and move on. We don't. That's why we think we need to be trading. We think the market's more volatile than it really is. We think it's a worst-case scenario than it is. That we've got – that today's problems are just way worse than they've ever been in the history of the planet. Don't you get it, Dave? I do get it. But it's not, because it's all of our human nature. And so we do have to fight that, and we have to understand that, hey – there are certain things I'm reading that I may not have the full context of that may or may not be a problem, and I have to continue to just kind of go along and make sure that I don't overreact to things, right?
That's right.
So anyway, yes, the market at times, and it is to me one of the bigger problems out there, is that the machines rule the exchange. I hate that.
I never even thought about that, but I have read about that in the past, and that's true now that you brought it to light.
Well, and also, though, don't let a couple hundred point swing, you know, hey, the Dow's a lot higher than it was a few years ago. So percentage-wise, sure. We're okay, Fred. We're all right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You have a great day. Great call.
You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye. And our number is 580-KIDO. Hey, Paul, please hang on. I really got to get a break out of the way here. And we have several lines available. 580-KIDO. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Money Matters with Dave Petzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and I hope you're having an awesome day. I am absolutely having an awesome day. I touched on it earlier, but I don't know. I don't know. What do they call it, biorhythms or something? My biorhythms are like on fire or something today, whatever. I don't know. Just feeling very good. And I hope you're having a good day, too. Our number here is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We've been talking today. We've been all over the place. But talking specifically about much today, about how we are driven by this constant negative reporting of news when it simply isn't true, right? I mean, and how do we actually get our news or information without it really affecting us too negatively, right? How do we keep a positive outlook, a generally positive outlook in the world? Now, I want to talk about this real quick and touch on this. Next week, this is really important. It's come up so many times, and I keep getting emails, I keep getting questions, and about annuities, equity index annuities. I know, for those of you that are like, I don't want to hear about it again. I don't want to hear about it either. As soon as they get the crooks and the criminals and the stupid insurance companies out of here, right, then we won't have to talk about it. But it is extremely misleading, and it's a big problem, and people are still driven to seminars, and they're driven by radio programs and all these other things to believe that they can have market returns without risk. So I'm going to take a few minutes next week, okay, in our education segment, and talk about that, okay? So I'm going to talk about that next week in the first hour, and maybe, you know, anyway, but I'm going to go in this week, and I'm going to record like about 30 minutes or something like that. And then so it's there, and then we can have that, and hopefully we can get that like moved over to our website as well for people in the future. Okay. Anyway, enough of that nonsense. Let's go to the phones. Paul, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dave. Morning.
Good morning.
Hey, you wake up our Saturdays.
Well, good.
All the garbage that comes all the week, you take care of it.
Well, thank you for that. That's good. I like that.
So,
your Saturday garbage man, is that what you're saying?
No, you wake us up and give us a good thing.
That's good.
Yeah. So during the week I was reading a lot of things about diversification and what's going on. And many of them are saying global bonds, you know, kind of getting into the global bonds. And I know that bonds aren't doing so hot right now, but what do you think about that?
You know, it's interesting because they've done so poorly. Paul, I think you can have a little bit of an allocation in global bonds, particularly emerging markets. But a general global bond fund can go there, too. I hope. Okay, you want to look at what they hold.
But for me personally, I really can't get excited about a German Bund at 0.5. Really. I mean, seriously. And watching the euro continue to weaken, this is not going to work well. So I want only the emerging markets for that exposure. And this is only, for me, a secular play. And I have to further say, incorrect. You know, it was cheap a year ago, okay? But it's really even cheaper now. So this is an area that I think you want to be careful in. It's not a general, in my mind, asset allocation. But with the U.S. dollar in command and everybody focused on the U.S. dollar as the only currency, the strengthening currency, the certainty, right? So when everybody's really certain about an outcome, I want to kind of lean the other way. I want to at least think about it because certainty is priced. So you are getting good bargains globally, Paul, especially in the emerging markets right now.
Okay.
All right. So no, diversification, fine. But not all the time. No need to. You don't live in global currency. You live in U.S. dollars, right?
Right.
So the currency fluctuations are big in that space, okay? So, one, make sure you have a good manager. And, two, I would do it with a small amount and think of it almost like a sector, right? I only put a little extra in energy because I have energy all through the portfolio. You have currency play all through your international stocks, right? So you're already exposed to that. So when you put more there, you're making a little bit of an increased bet on what's cheap or diminish what's dear. So what I happen to agree with you right now that I think on the emerging market side, this is a very cheap sector. I have no problem with adding a little bit more there, but my preference actually are emerging market stocks. But, Paul, as an ongoing basis, I don't think it's necessary at all to have global bonds.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, you too. And our number is 580-KIDO. Why don't we go ahead and take a break for this is our final break. We're actually going to get it out of the way. How about that? And when we come back, please do give us a call. I've got a clear board. 580-KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Matters with Dave Petzel on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, and thanks again for joining us. We're just about out of time today, but anytime you have a comment, question, love to hear from you. Go to PetzelFinancial.com, PETSOFinancial.com, archive programs there. Shoot us an email. Really want to know what you'd like us to talk about during the program. Next week, I am going to talk a little bit about annuities. Probably come in this week, get that part recorded, and then I'll be live the rest of the time. But I've had so many questions come up again. I know. We talk about it a lot. We have, and we have to. It's still a huge product sales, and it is very devastating for so many people. Very misleading. So we're going to talk some more about that next week. And if you have any questions during the week, again, shoot them over to us at PetzelFinancial.com. Now, before we run out of time completely here, this was one of the things that really comes to light. It's a very strange – last year was a strange year. And they all are to a degree. But this was what was really different. When we measure the market arbitrarily by a set thing like the S&P 500, which is really the 75 biggest companies, about 80% of the index – okay? It's not 500 companies, at least not equally weighted, okay? That did really well. But, you know, global didn't, and we use indices all the time. I looked up two big name global allocation funds. One of them, billions of dollars in these things, -5 for the year. The other one was 1.8 plus. Different kind of year when we all had that impression. It was up, up, up. Make sure we measure what we correctly. Hey, everybody, have a great weekend. Hope you do. Take care.
Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petzl Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Pezzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Pezzo Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. These are the opinions of Dave Pezzo and are based on information from sources believed to be reliable but may change as information changes or becomes outdated. Nor should any opinion contained herein be construed or considered as a solicitation to buy or sell any particular investment product. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Asset allocation and diversification strategies cannot fully guarantee against loss. The past performance does not guarantee future results.